wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Your sins are as scarlet. Scattered around the world are those listening to my message. I greet you each one in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of these days I will preach my last sermon, and one day you will hear the last appeal of God to your soul, and you will be in eternity. Someone in my audience will never hear another gospel message, and that someone may be you. What then? The days have not passed for the living God to manifest his great power, sometimes by a flash of his lightning, smiting down a defiant sinner, and sometimes by a stroke of his Holy Spirit's convicting, bringing a bold infidel to tears of repentance. These mysterious acts of the living God are so perfectly directed, even the most skeptical must acknowledge that a supreme being was marking the very footsteps of men. This incident will exemplify this and also introduce my Bible text. A proud young infidel was walking down a street, and seeing a little girl giving away papers, he gladly took one, glancing at the title he read, "Your Sins Are as Scarlet." What? One of those religious papers? And he threw it down. But he could not so easily get rid of those words of the living God. They gripped him. They charged him. Your sins are scarlet. He argued with himself that he didn't believe any of that religious stuff. But he couldn't argue away the Holy Spirit, whose convicting sword had already entered him. At every step he became more distressed as his many sins came before him. His infidel arguments were now to him as only foolish defiance of an omnipotent God whose firm hand now held him. He had reveled in sin and didn't care, since he argued there was no God, but now he saw God's frown of wrath on all his sins, and those words tormented him. Whose words could they ever be? Who would dare to so speak to men? He walked faster, but those words came faster too. He could not shake them. He could not deny them. Your sins are scarlet. Finally, he weakened. Maybe he was all wrong, and there is a living God, and sin isn't such a joke after all. Just then, as ordered by the living God, he was in front of a little chapel, and through its open door came a gospel hymn. He thought, why not go in? Nobody will know me in there. As he seated himself, the hymn ended, and the preacher announced his text as Isaiah 1:18 and read, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, if ye be willing." By now the infidel was at the end of his rope. Truly, only a living God could have so perfectly ordered all this. Burdened with his sin, he listened to the words of divine mercy, and he was converted to God. And it all happened in less than 2 hours one summer evening. This verse is now my text. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, if ye be willing." One night years ago, I was preaching, and trumpets carried the message over the neighborhood. A crippled man, unable to sit in a meeting for pain, listened in his home. It was the word of the Lord to him. And the next morning, he phoned me to tell how the Lord had washed away his scarlet sins. This is the word of the Lord to you today, neighbor. I am but his servant, delivering his message. Oh, hear it, act on it, and be blessed. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. How gracious of God! He wants to talk to you personally about a very personal matter. He calls you to his inner office. What is it? He lays on the table the thing in question, your sins. Now, don't be a coward and turn and run. If you, with your car, ran over a child, what would you do? Surely you would not run away, but you would stop and face the deed. If you started to run, I would try and persuade you to stop. Young and old in my invisible audience, I am your friend. I'm not trying to get you into some trap. I'm seeking your present and eternal welfare as I plead with you to give yourself up. Face the fact of your sins. As God pleads, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Don't be like a young man I picked up on the road. I said to him, young man, do you ever think about your sins? He answered, no, if I did, I'd go crazy. If to think of your sins would have such an effect, what would it be to face the holy God of heaven in the day of judgment and for all those sins to be charged to you? Each one must face the fact of his sins either now or in the day of judgment. One might say in flippant indifference, the judgment day will be soon enough for me. But if you come now and own up to your sin before God, it will be the best meeting you could ever know. But if you meet God in your sins at the great white throne, it will be the most dreadful experience you could ever have. To stand in his holy presence, to face the gaze of God's anger, as all your sins are read from God's books, say, hear me good, both young and old. Let my words take deep root in your ears and heart. I plead with you, don't meet God in your sins. I say that again, don't meet God in your sins. Today you can meet him in mercy, but then in stern justice. And so God calls you to come now. But some defiant sinner replies, preacher, I don't have to and you can't make me. Man, you said it. It is true. Today you're on your own. You may come or you may refuse to come, but that doesn't end the matter. When the court summons you, you may not go. But does that end the matter? You know it doesn't. For one day the officer will get you and you must come. Today you are on your own. God respects your own will, and he pleads with you to come. But one day you will have to come. Today the Lord pleads, come now. But in that day his irresistible voice shall cry throughout the universe, come forth. And your body shall break forth from your grave. It must come. And your soul shall rise out of hell, for it must come. And you will stand before your judge to face two great charges. The first will be your sins. And the second, why did you not come? And what will you say? Do you now say, preacher, I will come. Now what? You take your seat at God's table and he brings out the fact of your sins. Not the devil's sins, nor Adam's either, nor your neighbor's sins, your sins. Those wicked deeds, those awful words, and those vile thoughts and covetous desires of your heart. You did it. You said it. You desired it. They're all yours. You cannot blame anyone for them, nor excuse yourself for one of them. Your memory awakens. Your conscience agrees. You are guilty and you know it. This is the important crisis. Let me help you, neighbor. For what you do right now is the most important step you ever took. Some in pride turn away and never know God's mercy. For God has never and he will never show mercy to one who will not repent. I repeat that, God has never, and he will never, show mercy to one who will not repent. I hope you will do this. Beat your breast for its vile desires, and resigning your pride, fall on your knees before God and tell him, oh God, I'm guilty. My sins have been awful. I'm ashamed of myself. I deserve thy eternal judgment. Oh, God, be merciful to me, thee sinner. This brings an honest question from some thoughtful mind. Why does God just want to talk to me about my sins? His own word answers this question, saying, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. The great barrier that separates you from your Maker is your sins. God has found a way for it to be removed, and he calls you to tell you about it, for he wants to show you mercy. He longs to turn you back to himself. Hear his call. Come now." Then comes the message of mercy. When? Only when you plead guilty, as God charges you with this: "Your sins are as scarlet." If you object and say, "Preacher, I've never done anything so very bad," neighbor, I don't believe you. I believe God, and he says that your sins are scarlet. You know they are. But if you plead not guilty, then you're challenging the honesty and integrity of Almighty God. You're saying to him, "Prove it." He will accept your challenge, and he will prove it in the day of judgment. In that day, you and all created intelligence will say, "God is right. My sins are scarlet." But then it'll be too late for mercy. Let everyone who now pleads guilty listen as the Lord declares his mercy to all repentant sinners. None others, all repentant sinners. God has found a way to show you mercy and forgiveness, and as he sees you in repentance at his feet, confessing that your sins are scarlet and crying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner," his arms of mercy reach down to you, and he says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." You cannot understand how your scarlet sins could be so cleansed and you become as white as snow, but God has promised it. He will do it. He doesn't ask you to do it. In wonder you cry, "Oh God, how can this be?" Then all scenes fade away as God focuses your once blinded eyes. You now see a cross. On it a lovely man, yet smeared with dirt and spit, and marked by blood, 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 as he dies in an agony that is unbearable. His head is bowed as beneath a heavy load. In tones of tender love, God now speaks to you, the repentant sinner, saying, "See, here's my son, my beloved son, my holy son. He is dying for your sins. He gave himself to save you. His blood alone could cleanse you of your sins, and he gave it for you." Calvary's scene removes, and now you see an empty tomb and an angel crying, "He is not here, he is risen." That scene also passes, and now you behold a throne of glory in heaven, and on the throne that very same man in that same human body that you saw on Calvary. But now he's crowned with glory and honor. He is Jesus, and he wears a crown, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What does all this mean? God speaks, "Sinner, I can cleanse you and forgive you, because Jesus, my son, was delivered for your offenses and raised for your justification. One thing remains, and you must answer that. Are you willing? You have come, you have repented. Now will you receive my son, Jesus Christ, to be your own Lord and Savior? Sinner, I wish I could answer for you, but I cannot. I implore you to right now fall on your knees wherever you are, in your boat, your car, your home, or in the jail, and tell God, 'I will have thy son Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior.' Then be sure to add, 'Lord Jesus, I thank thee for doing all this for me, and now I want to live for thee and show that I really mean it.' Amen."